The following podcast is intended for mature audiences. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Naked Wizard Media.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Smashing the Dome, the Under the Dome Hate Watch podcast. I'm your host, Carrie, and I'm here with Sherry and Kirk. Hello.
Hey. Hello.
So today we're going to take a look at episode 8, Thicker Than Water. This episode was directed by Jack Bender and written by Adam Stein, and it aired August 12th, 2013. An action-packed episode.
Yeah.
Compared to what usually goes on in Chester's Mill.
Yeah.
There was some gunplay and some punch kick. So yeah. That part was good.
And there was an explosion. Yeah.
There was an explosion that we'll get to.
Explosion. We'll get to.
Much of the action was also useless.
Yeah.
Actually, if we really want to break it down, the entire plot and concept of this episode was useless.
Was stupid. Yeah. It was very stupid. Yeah.
I think I may be wrong, but if I recall correctly, going back and watching these episodes now, I think this is the beginning of the decline. Where every episode after this, you start going, well, that was stupid. Well, that was dumb. Oh, they topped last week. That was really stupid.
Yeah.
So well, the fun should start
it's
here.
It's ridiculous
soon.
Whenever you look at this episode and they're complaining about, oh, they're running out of food. They're complaining already. Yeah. That
That's okay.
Out of food.
There's a future episode where a bit of a Deus Ex Machina comes into play for the food. Luckily, they have a nice hoarder in town.
Yeah.
Which there's a nice little plot device that is a shining example of great writing. And this series is filled with those. But this episode here, like I said, the start of the decline, but once again, nowhere near the depths of where it would go.
No, not science-y enough.
Not science-y yet. Season 2, it gets science-y, and that's why Kirk's here, because we're going to have a lot of fun when season 2 rolls around.
Yes.
My first observation of this episode, and I may be wrong, because, we're rewatching these for these podcasts, but I don't think Junior changes his clothes again for the rest of the series.
I don't think Linda does either.
Spoiler alert, but there's a little bit more of Junior in season 2 than there is of Linda, without giving away anything.
I think that was the only outfit that she had.
Well, no, I think it showed her because there was one episode where it may have been
and she had her hair down.
Yeah, and I said, well, she kind of hot. But Junior, I don't think we ever see him wearing anything else for the rest of the series other than that.
Yeah, I don't
uniform.
Think so. Not that I know of.
So I guess Big Jim is good, at least for the first part of this episode.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's pretty fucked up.
Well,
he flip flops. Not even mid season, mid episode. Yeah. This guy is like bipolar.
Mid sentence, sometimes he'll change.
Yeah, I think he's good in as far as he doesn't want to get in shit for what Junior did.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really give a crap about Angie.
No, he doesn't. But he has a reputation he's got to uphold. For him to maintain that image in the town as the leader, and
I just don't know why he hasn't killed her by now. Like he's been all out on everybody else. Blow you up in a propane truck. Smash your head up against the dome.
Yeah,
you know he's been pretty no holds barred there so far. Like I don't know why he's easing up on this chick. Honestly, it's the dome.
It's the dome. It's what the dome wants.
Yeah.
She's the monarch.
We'll get to that too. Do either of you guys find Angry Junior a hoot? This actor to try and when he portrays and it's not a good sign because his character is by nature a brooding individual.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tries to portray a brooding individual, it's at times laughable.
Yeah. I think he thinks Angry is just like showing all of his teeth, just baring them.
Yeah.
Don't you ever talk about my mom that way again.
Staring with wide eyes.
Yeah.
My mom.
My mom.
Rapey Your mother's Slimmer. So fat.
Kirk, did you like the shot of the best shitty CGI butterfly ever? Did you happen to notice?
I wasn't even really watching that. I was like, okay, Monarch Butterfly.
Yeah. It was a little weak. And then I had a question.
It was a lot weak.
That's the scene that shows Barbie digging the grave.
Yes.
And Sherry and I were both watching it, and we both kind of remarked, is he going to bury her on the front lawn? That looks like a rather good-sized property there.
Yeah.
Usually the burial of the dead relatives or the dead people usually go in the backyard.
Kind of out under a tree, whatever.
But no, well, they're right going to dig her up when the dome is gone, so they want to be able to get to her easy, right?
Because when the town goes to, like...
They don't want equipment in their backyard messing up their lawn and stuff.
Because when the town goes to, like, do some work on the gutter or replace when they went to install the new internet, they found a surprise.
Yeah, I didn't see any flags or anything, like, you know, showing where the gas lines were.
Gas line, electric coffin.
Just put a chalk outline.
And then now this opening scene with Joe and Angie.
Is it just me or
Joe should have been wearing a Boy Scout uniform in this? That's stealing.
I still can't.
I'll starve to death.
Get over the totally useless thing that what's her name says. What a coincidence! A death and a birth in the same house
on the same day.
Circle of life.
But if you put a dome over the town and close the hospital, the odds of these things raise dramatically. Yeah, really.
It really does.
Because most people die and are born in a hospital in the civilized world. Mm-hmm. Take that away, and you're probably going to find yourself born or dead now.
Especially when you go out of your way.
When you bring a lady who is diabetic and she has no more insulin
into the house
to deliver the baby. And she's clearly, she's sweating, she's in distress.
To deliver the baby of the person that you went out of your way to help and brought to your home instead of anywhere else to have the baby.
Yeah.
The odds are good that it may occur in the same
house.
Not
a huge coincidence.
No. Yeah. Useless dialogue.
And Sharon and I both noticed something else, that line that Joe tells Angie when he says,
I've been looking for you all week.
I've been looking all over for you.
No, you weren't. No, you didn't.
You were actually doing a lot of other things, and you barely even talked about your sister.
You were barely looking for
you might
sister.
Have mentioned her once or twice. I don't know.
You were thinking of a girl, but not her.
And then we had the example of what this series has come to be known for, the nice expositional dialogue between Angie and Joe. And Joe just asked him a simple question, how do you feel? Well, my mom died 12 hours ago, so how would you feel? Just in case you didn't tune into the last episode, which brings up...
you have the memory of a goldfish.
Which brings up a rather icky question that I had later on, because by the time they bury her, it's nighttime again, which would be close to hovering around the 24-hour mark, because she died the year before, or the night before. So, now I know it's only 24 hours, but... I hope they had her in some type of cold container, at least.
Yeah.
Nope, but just in the bedroom.
Just in the bedroom,
the wrapped up. The smell isn't too bad, well, except for being you shit yourself. The smell isn't supposed to be too bad for the first little while, but after 24 hours, when you get into the 2-3 day mark, you can't go in the house.
No.
Yeah.
Because the walls will reek of it.
Yeah. And there is a line here that I'm marking in this episode, because I want to see later on. The line is, this is the last place in town with coffee.
Yeah. If I see somebody get a coffee anywhere else,
I'm going to mark
someone's been holding out.
Because we all know in this series, things don't change. Like, they just don't introduce elements into certain scripts where the plot needs it, and it totally, totally retcons what happened before. Like, this episode being retconned in a future episode, we'll get to the reason why.
Well, it does seem like it's the only... restaurant, the only eatery restaurant in town.
But the exact wording was last place in town with any coffee left.
Yeah.
So that means that there's no coffee in anyone's home. I'm just saying, nitpicking
a
tad.
I wouldn't consider someone's home a place.
Maybe I'm nitpicking a tad, but if I see anybody have a cup of coffee, well, I better not see anybody at a Starbucks in this series.
Maybe they went and scavenged one of the previously dead people's houses and stole their coffee.
Maybe.
Not that they'll be needing it, you know.
Yeah.
Being as they're dead. So
I'm guessing that today, anyway, in Chester's Mill, Big Jim and Ollie are they're on an off cycle in their relationship.
Yeah.
And then we also have the introduction of the problem of the week, which I wrote down was food shortage, because that's what Big Jim said when he went to Ollie's property. But it ends up being a water shortage, which I have a small observation about.
Yeah.
Just the one?
Well, it's one big one. But you wouldn't know it unless you watched some future episodes. But we're close to my observation.
Yeah, but first, I think that happens in this season too, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
But first, I also have another observation. I guess propane just powers absolutely everything in this town.
Yeah.
Everything.
Or everything has the ability to be powered off of
it. Yeah. Well, they just science that up, right?
Yeah.
Change some stuff.
And I know. There's propane fridges and freezers and stuff like that. But, yeah, they probably don't have those. But
they
had gas lines.
They had gas.
Yeah.
What?
Well, like, I'm just, like, I don't know. I
unless they have a power generation station that runs off of gas, they must be using it for heating.
They label propane in this series as being like the mother of all things you could have, which is important in emergency situations.
But it's not like you can, you know, fill up your average generator with propane. It
no.
sort of turns to gas. You're trying to put it in.
And then Linda seems surprised that Junior may be dangerous. You didn't think of this when you deputized this homicidal maniac? Like, there's no one that can tell me that all, like, Angie knew for sure
yeah.
that he was a little off, but yeah. you can tell me that there were no signs with this kid at all, that maybe he's not the best person to be deputized in a crisis? I don't know. We'll see, because you know he's just going to continue to spiral in this series, right? And he's never going to have any kind of
redemption.
No. Now, Kirk. Sherry checked.
Oh.
Eminent domain. Not a municipal thing.
No, it's kind of federal.
It's federal or state.
Or state.
Yeah.
The town. At least in Canada, the town can. No, in the U.S., we checked.
Yeah.
In the town cannot come in and say, no, we need your land.
Yeah, that's not but a bylaw
somebody with
thing.
More people in guns than you can.
Apparently. Speaking of that, when they first roll on to Ollie's property looks kind of big.
Yeah.
It's a farm.
No one saw these trucks hiding anywhere that just came rolling up all of a
well,
sudden?
Well, there was the one behind like the building.
Yeah.
The one came from behind the building, but yeah, the other one just came from the open field.
There's no turning on these roads. It's roads and then everyone's driveways directly like in a straight line off. All roads end at someone's driveway. Mm-hmm. There's no turning to see any other angles of the property at all. We call him Red Shirt. We had a red shirt get shot in the kneecap.
Oh, yeah.
Skedaddle, Mr. Red Shirt.
And one thing we noticed was it seemed like Linda had, like, no idea what to do.
Oh, my God. This was really the first episode, I think, where she was just completely ineffective. She didn't do anything. She didn't try to say, Ollie... You know that kind of eminent domain? We can take private goods for public or private, whatever, property for public good? Mm-hmm. No, just look around in bewilderment. That's fine.
And I know things are kind of limited because of the dome, but she, you know, here's some documentation. Sign here.
Yeah, even in the bylaw here. Book for some reason, yeah. which it shouldn't be.
No, let's just go there with guns and try and take it because that's what cops do.
But then not even say anything.
No, not say anything. Just let Big Jim handle everything because he's Big Jim.
Yeah,
Big
Jim. And because he handles everything so well.
Yeah, he does have a sparkly record, doesn't he?
I will say, though, Kirk.
I like his decision to hold a gun to his son. I'm down with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I like about Under the Dome. It teaches you stuff.
No,
like when season two rolls around, we're going to learn a lot about science.
Yeah.
But we learned something in this episode, too. Not about science. But we learned that, we learned thanks to Julia, that
thanks, Julia.
Women say a lot of things that they don't mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took everything I had to stop Sherry from throwing her shoe at the television at that point.
Especially at that age. Like, no, fuck off. Mm-hmm. She was angry, or Yeah, she's angry. Nori's angry. And she's looking at someone to blame
mother's
death.
People with dicks do that, too.
And that delivery between Nori and Joe about... She seemed like... Wait, that... I don't know. The delivery when she was blaming it on him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was like probably some of her worst...
And that's bad.
That was probably one of the worst things so far I've seen her do.
Yes, it's not
that,
just
that delivery of that. And it was like
Fivehead was just angry.
Yeah. Like if I'm Joe, like he's like, I know he's a young kid, but at like by the eighth word, you're like, oh fuck, this is gonna go bad. This is gonna go bad because if a person's really talking to you like that,
yeah,
there could be a gun. They might try to stick you with a knife. This is even before she actually says the blaming part, just the delay. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
All right. Now, here's my big issue with this episode. Apparently, there's a water shortage.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of things. First of all, Ollie's well siphoned off all the water in town, apparently. That seems legal. Like when that was, you know, the town wouldn't have anything to say about that.
No.
It
drained what? Two other wells? Was it other wells and a reservoir?
Yeah, and a reservoir.
Yeah, just and it was a large reservoir on that map.
We built that reservoir, but you know, whatever, it's okay.
Well, here's the thing, right?
We got propane.
There's and you wouldn't know
that, drink that.
You wouldn't know this until you watched future episodes, but and not too far down the road, I don't think.
No,
but it's this massive season, I'm pretty sure. Massive water shortage. Ollie, and it was said in this episode, has the last water in town. The last, right? Because the reservoir is dry.
Yeah.
What about that big fucking lake you have in your town?
You know, the one you drove the boat across?
Is that... Now, I know later on in the series they find out some problems with that water, but we don't know that at this point.
No.
So... And we're looking at the map when they're looking at the map on the wall, and I'm going, I know there's a big fucking lake in this town because it comes into play.
Yeah.
Just
and it's
not
also right just south of Ollie's farm there.
Just not, it just doesn't come into play this week because the script didn't call
for
it.
That's too far away.
Yeah.
They couldn't even think of hauling it that far. They'd have to be at least the 3 kilometers closer that Ollie is.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to haul the water into town. That just, you know, they'd be like, hauling it on their head, you know, like in Africa with those pots and stuff.
And when we watched the series initially, I mean, it never occurred to me, but now watching it and analyzing them for this podcast.
Well, I'm pretty sure whenever we saw that map, I was like, what about that fucking lake right there?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, maybe the dome, you know, is between there.
Yeah.
You'd think on all of their maps, it would circle where the dome is, but
no. You think the boundaries of the dome would be marked somewhere.
Might be helpful. Especially, I don't know, at the sheriff's office.
But
just throwing that out there.
Watching this now for the podcast, that is a huge error and a huge oversight. That you have an entire episode about the shortage of water, which culminates in explosions, gunplay, and death. And then what? Maybe 2-3 episodes after this, you introduce a giant fucking lake in the middle of your town.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, come on now.
Well, you know what? I don't even know. The guy who made this dome is just crazy. He's just looking for a lawsuit. He should have put one of them orange strips so you could see it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they do with the bus shelters
and
glass doors and stuff.
Yeah.
Insane.
Well, mind the gap.
Insane.
You don't need that there anymore because of the giant bomb that hit, right?
Yes, that has the devastation on the other side.
On it.
Yeah. And destroyed everything outside of the dome.
Yeah. All that devastation that we saw on the other side of the dome this week from that bomb.
Drive until you see dead grass.
Mm.
Yeah. I guess Joe's house must be on the other side of that because when they were throwing the snow globes.
Yeah, looked nice.
It looked fine. Yeah. Looked normal.
And but we have a big uh-oh moment here. Huge for the series.
You mean Ollie's wonderful idea here?
Well, Junior learns the truth about his mother, which, as we know, will sow the seed for an emotional arc that will follow in for the entire series, right?
You'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll just let Sherry share her the observation that we both shared about the telling... telling Junior this and the reason why they probably didn't tell Junior this before.
The reason?
Well, the obvious reasons why.
Because he was nine.
Yeah. Would you tell your nine-year-old that his mother committed suicide?
It's all right, son. Everything's going to be okay. But your mother killed herself! Ah!
And you know what? It's all your fault.
Yeah,
it's
you started to go crazy just like her, and she couldn't handle it, so she killed herself.
Pancakes?
And so Junior, like, he's obviously completely emotionally stable. He's in such a good place.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
grounded.
This kid.
Really good.
He's grounded, yeah.
You should definitely share these horrific details with him.
Yeah, it's good. Good. Yeah, kill you makes you stronger, right?
You just, took somebody hostage and killed one, two, three people now? Yeah, okay. There's nothing that could possibly go wrong here.
Yes.
I'm not pushing any buttons.
And, now we discover also that the monarch will be crowned.
Which,
this is the point where the show is slowly attempting and failing, by the way, to be lost. I don't mean lost like I don't know where the show's
going.
They are lost. I mean the show lost.
Show lost. Yeah.
You know, with like these cryptic little things that you don't know, and it's just something else that adds to the mystique of the show. It worked for Lost for the most part. In this show,
yeah,
it's just not working.
You're gonna have to fill me in. I didn't watch Lost. Now, were those things that were just like premonitions of the future?
Well, no, there were lots of
things that could help them survive.
There were a little bit of both. There were lots of things in Lost.
Survival was gone from Lost within how long? Few episodes.
There were a lot of things in Lost that kept it being introduced every season that were questions for the audience. And then the good creators of Lost, in the final episode, took the series and rolled it up into a ball and shoved it right up all the fans' asses and didn't answer any questions.
Wow.
Kirk has to watch it.
This show seems like it's just trying to redo the final episode over and over again then.
Yeah.
Like they're just trying to take it and cram it up your ass every episode.
I will say this about Lost. The stuff with how they did it on the show was very captivating. Like you had to watch the next episode to find out. And then it just, the mystery just deepened and deepened and deepened. And something else was introduced in the mystery that was another mystery. And
I love Lost, but I also hate Lost.
Yes. One of those shows where when we were watching it, I was like, oh, this is so great. But now I look back and like look on Netflix and then go, do I want to watch Lost again? And I go, no, I don't.
Let's go look for Gilligan's Island.
I just can't take it. I can't view it again.
I can't. Mr. Black? No.
Heads and shoulders above this year. Even Lost at its worst.
Even Nikki and Paolo. Paolo,
better than this stuff.
Better than this tripe.
Yeah, so now...
Right, now, are we talking about Barbie and his slick military skills now, Kirk? I just wanted to
point out that Joe, that whole the monarch thing, Joe showed Julia the egg in the center of the dome. Where it was found. Just remember that, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's something stick with through the whole series. With, like a Bible. Like a Bible.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Kirk. I'm going to let you have the honor of dissecting Barbie's plan.
Okay, well, first off, are you stupid? Okay, so you see this wellhead, right? That water is just trickling out of slowly.
Oh, sorry. Sorry to interrupt you, but do wells always just constantly pour water out of them like that?
Well, you'd have to be in a perfect topography where you were lower
into what appears to be a metal
that's feeding your well.
In what appears to be a metal tub.
Yeah.
Which this water then goes.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Now, he supposedly irrigates all of his land with this trickle of water. And keeps his crops going with this slow trickle of water.
Yes, of course.
And even if he put the pipes underground, you didn't think about he had pipes underground to irrigate his fields? Oh, that's going to cause a problem. Anyway, let's get just right down to the point. The only thing an explosion would be good for is if it was an oil well that's on fire to put the fire out. It's not going to stop the flow of...
Do you want to just take a second? I do mean a second. To just explain that to some people. Some people just might not be able to wrap their heads around that. Why you would have an explosion to put out a fire.
Okay, well, an explosion, the right type of explosion with the right type of explosive, which AMFO could be used, is basically to use up or push all the air away from the fire at the oil well head, and that would extinguish the fire because there's no air to keep it going.
Because fire needs
oxygen.
All right.
It's one of the major parts.
I'm just helping out for some of the people at home that might not be all scienced up like this series is.
Yes.
Okay, well, continue.
We're sciencey. Yeah,
all right. So anyway, it doesn't stop the pressure. The oil continues flowing, but the fire's out. So now they can cap it with some kind of big crane and a great big heavy thing. Now, if you blow up a water well that's gushing water, the only thing you're going to do is make more gushing water. It's not going to stop the water and reverse the flow of the water.
That's just called physics, folks.
Okay, so if he has no physical pump pumping the water and the water is dripping out of the hole like that, the source that's feeding is only just going to gush and create and flood Ollie's house. The water will be 10 feet closer to town than Ollie's well.
Good job, buddy. But he's such a hero, though.
I just don't understand how it's going to make the water flow backwards. Explosion.
Back into the reservoir. Yeah. Back
into the reservoir.
Because, obviously, his well has to be deeper than those other things.
Be deeper.
So, obviously, the explosion changed gravity.
That's what the dome.
It was a gravity bomb.
That's what the dome was.
Gravity bomb.
They have those under the dome. I think they didn't really put a whole lot of thought into that, and it was just sort of them sitting around at a meeting going, Barbie needs an action sequence.
How do bombs work? I don't know. It's the same way that windmills made out of road signs work. I don't know.
The only way this could happen is if he got like so ultra lucky and the explosion shook something in the cavities underground and blocked off his access to the water.
I think
that's
the
only way.
Like I said, I think it was more of a Barbie needs an action sequence.
Yeah.
He's so dreamy.
He'll fix it.
Sorry, I was...
You want to be alone?
Yeah.
He'll fix it with a bang.
Did you notice too, Kirk? Now, I don't know. A lot of people might not notice this. And I remember writing it down and thinking this to myself. We have Nori. She's sort of exploring every grief-stricken cliche there is. And I remember saying this to myself. I said, look, she's angry at Joe, and she's angry at her mother for dying. And I'm like, well, the only thing left is being angry at herself. And the very next scene, she drops her knees and goes, it's my fault. Mm-hmm. And I went, there you go. Now I understand that there are phases every person goes through, but do you have to write them in the series so blatantly?
Yeah.
That you just watch it and you go, like I did, and go, well, look, there's a cliched response. Oh, there's a cliched reaction. Just think a little, make it a little bit more intelligent. I don't know. You can still show this kind of stuff without having it be so in your face and terrible, really. And these snow globes, I sense they're symbolic of something, but I can't put my finger on it. Thank you for
But luckily, Nori is there to point it out for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
To point out the similarities. No, George, get down.
That was the cat trying to...
flying across the room.
The cat trying to become the engineer. We tried that. We tried that once. It didn't work.
Shit got now, erased.
When all this stuff happened after Barbie blew up the well and Jim's men started running away, I guess everyone ran away because the next scene they're hauling Jim into Ollie's house. So no one stayed. Everybody just blew up. I'm out of here.
Yeah, everything's good.
And then those two guys took off.
Yeah.
We were fighting for you.
So why'd you bring Jim in? Why'd you haul him in? Why didn't you just leave? You're like, fuck, well's gone. Okay. See ya.
They didn't figure it out till they got back in the house.
When nothing was said to them. Right.
Well, it took them time to process. Jim and
you know, the well's blown up. But see, this is where
Well's blown up. Oh, well, I'm not fighting for you.
But see, this scene is where the big turn in this episode happens. Yep. Yep. Because earlier, which so we didn't mention, was Junior joined Ollie's side. He joined the dark side. Or darker side. I don't know what you want to call it. But then in this scene,
I don't know. Ollie just wanted to hurt Jim. I think Ollie's side probably would have been better.
Yeah.
He didn't have any problem with everybody else. Well, maybe he did.
But yeah. But then in this scene, after Dean Norris put in his application for an Emmy, Junior decides to shoot Ollie instead. And Junior looks at Jim and says, "I believe you." That's good, as opposed to believing the guy who's turned his back on the town and has a personal grudge against your father.
Yep.
Because, you know, Big Jim is the epitome of good as well. So why wouldn't you believe him? Oh, there's so many shades of gray in this series. It's so compelling, don't you find? Who's really good and who's really bad? No one. Mm. Everyone's sort of,
this is a town full of dickheads.
It really is.
A real fucking bunch of
Even
dickheads.
Barbie, our hero, has a dark side and a dark backstory that I'm sure will play out in future episodes, right?
I'm sure.
It's going to be a major arc across episodes and episodes, I would imagine. At least whole season should be at least dedicated to the, not dedicated, but a side story of the whole season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they finally decide to bury the icky body upstairs. And whoa. Remember the monarch will be crowned?
Yeah.
There's a butterfly tattoo on Angie's shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Not a monarch.
Not a monarch.
Not a monarch. Nope. Not even a little bit. Not even orange. No, it's pink and yellow and blue.
Yep. Close enough.
Not even any black on it.
Nope. I'm guessing that's just...
It's a tattoo that Britt Robertson happened to have.
And that the writers went, "Oh my God, you have a butterfly.
Oh my God, it's so symbolic. It's fucking perfect."
And of course, it means it's going to go on to mean absolutely nothing, but we'll just...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, sorry, folks, for just... This is why we do this podcast, because things like this are supposed to have a payoff. That's why you watch a series. Nope, not.
Imagine having sex for hours and hours and never having an orgasm.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a guy.
Yeah.
The show is just like Lost. Nothing matters.
Ever.
All these questions.
The only thing there is the dome. Nope. It's the dome.
Just don't you dare hurt Hurley.
Or Vincent.
Yeah, that's true.
The dog.
Yes. Kirk's like, "I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I'll stare at my paper."
Well, I don't really have anything else as far as the series, this episode goes. It was an inane, just absolutely asinine plot.
A lot of useless dialogue.
This whole episode
delivered dialogue.
This whole episode was useless. What was the importance of this episode?
Ollie died.
The monarch will be crowned. We get that dialogue to come out. Ooh. And Angie has a fucking butterfly tattoo on her shoulder.
Yeah.
What else?
And they get the water.
They get the water, which who cares? Because on to the next problem next week.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't they afford to just like go over that tattoo with pencil crayons for the episode that they had to shoot it? Like, fuck.
Yeah. Like, no one, you tell me no one, nobody on that whole set went, "Hey, you know, that's not a monarch butterfly. Her tattoo is a butterfly, but it's not a monarch." No, that's okay. Audience is stupid. They'll just,
they couldn't have, oh, I don't know, used her other shoulder and like found a temporary tattoo.
I'm sure there's one of those out there.
Or they could have put the, or they could have put the tattoo on a character that, where the fucking thing mattered. I don't know. Just a thought. All right. Anything further, Kirk?
This episode sucked.
Yeah. Well, the series sucks.
It was so action-packed. Oh.
The action was good. The action was all right.
Didn't mean anything.
Dome and Chester's Mill count.
It was very low this week. I only had 2 Chester's Mill and 6 Dome.
Too much shooting to get all those Chester's Mill and Domes in there. Well, this episode was watched by 10.36 million Americans.
Fools.
And it was the lowest rated episode thus far, but still placed first in its time slot.
Television sucks. Have we determined what it's up against?
No, I never really looked and see. I would imagine it was just kicking the shit out of The Voice. I don't know.
Yeah, it was probably just some reality
Bachelor reruns.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what it was.
See, this series,
the King Effect.
Well, here's the thing with this series,
at least
right?
For the first.
This series airs from April to June. or April to July, something like that. It starts.
Sure.
Well, that's not normally the network seasons, right? The network seasons usually begin in fall.
This is a summer series.
So this series is competing.
Not even April to June, yeah. I don't think.
So this series is compete, or it begins in June or something like that.
Competing with reruns.
Exactly. This the series competes with reruns. That's why they're like, oh my God, I don't know, don't place first again. Well, I guess it's going to place first when you're watching
reruns. When you're watching reruns of the third, the third season of Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's the only other thing that's on.
The third season of The Simpsons?
The third season was good. I watched that over this. Anyway.
That season's great.
Maybe like the 23rd season of The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty hit and miss after 10.
I do a podcast about The Simpsons, but I just don't have that kind of time or commitment.
Yeah, really.
Oh, I would lose interest.
By the time we're done, we'd have quantum computers, and we'd have a colony on Mars.
Well, didn't Lisa's wedding day pass?
Yeah.
That one future episode where she got married.
Yeah.
Hey, we're only 2 years from Running Man.
Oh.
We're going to have it.
Marty McFly shows up this year, too. Yeah. It's 2015 now.
Mm-hmm. For real?
Yeah. We got the shoes.
Because I know it.
We're waiting for the shrinking and growing jacket.
What about hoverboards?
We're still a little ways away on them.
But they did make the shoes. I think I saw that recently. Yeah. They made the shoes.
Yeah, they do have the shoes.
Yeah.
It aired.
Nike.
This Under the Dome aired. It started June 24th or 27th.
So it's a summer.
I just looked at it and I don't remember.
So but it's
it
was a summer series. So it's like Kirk and I were saying, it competes against reruns and fill in shows. And
you know, the 18th. No, sorry. It's probably like literally the 20 something episode or season of Survivor. That crap.
They still have that.
As far as I know. I don't know. I watched the second season of it and then like the third, and I was like, well, they're just doing puzzles again, so this is boring.
Yeah. Where's the spearing a tiger or evading a shark challenge?
Yeah. Sorry, I was just thinking there. We were talking about Back to the Future. They better hurry up on those Jaws sequels. Because wasn't he up to like Jaws 12 or something like that when he showed up? They only have 9 to go or something like that.
No, should have went with 4. Because wasn't 4 the revenge?
Yeah, 4 was revenge, but I forget how many there were on the billboard when Marty showed up. And
oh, okay. Yeah.
Was that like Jaws 12 or 13 or something like that? You better rush those. All right, Sherry, I'm gonna under the dome curve.
Oh Christ, we rate these. I forgot.
What was your?
Jeez. Well, 2.5.
Out of 5?
Sure. I guess.
All right.
Yeah. The action was okay, but it didn't mean anything.
I'll give it a 2. The action and then...
And they didn't say dome.
No, you know what? I'll give it a 2.5, actually. I should.
They didn't say dome and Chester's Mill in every second sentence. So, yeah. 2.5.
Okay. Kirk?
I'll give it a 2.5.
2.5 is all the way around, then.
Cool.
This is a run-of-the-mill. This is just the run-of-the-mill shit. It's not the shitty shit.
Don't go comparing these to other shows because the 2.5 don't hold.
No,
up.
this is the gigantic under the dome curve.
Yeah, it's the curve. Whereas give it 2.5.
Like a 5 would be the pilot.
For Rachel LaFave's hair.
Her hair is always perfect.
It is.
Because we were commenting, I said, oh, yeah, she. But then I said she doesn't wake up, and then I remembered. Wait, I think there are scenes where she literally wakes up and her hair is like that. Yeah.
There are scenes when she comes out of a rainstorm and.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 minutes later, perfect curls.
Yeah.
All right. So is that it for this episode?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, next time we're introduced to Rapture. Do you remember Rapture, Sherry? If you don't remember Rapture, I'm sure you remember
is
Maxine.
Is this Fight Club?
No, Fight Club's coming.
Oh, yes.
But this is where we...
Oh, this is the one with the lady who's been in the closet for the past 2 weeks or however long.
She was literally in the closet.
Yeah.
Maxine, we're introduced to next week, who is just going to introduce a new element into the series that's going to carry on for the rest of the series and make an impact that's just going to be immense, right?
Yep. Right.
Hope you'll join us next time as we take a look at the fourth hand. So until then, for Sherry,
like a third hand.
for Sherry and for Kirk, thank you for listening. And please, please keep watching this series. We'll talk to you later.
This has been a Naked Wizard Media production. Executive producer, Carrie Kinney. For more information, visit nakedwizardmedia.com.